Let's pray. God, we come humbly this morning, asking, seeking, desiring you to move in our hearts to do something big. And so, God, we pray that your spirit, your power, your boldness would rise here in the midst of our community. And God, because you are active and working in us and through us, we pray that you would help us rise to whatever it is you're leading us to next. So God, we come today open, we come expecting, we come desiring you to do great big things. And we know that you always use people to do them. So God, here we are. Use us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. We start a new teaching series today out of the book of Joshua, and we've called it Rise, and hopefully by the end of today, you'll figure out why. Let's read this. Before we do so, Joshua the son of Nun, not Nun. Nun are the great ladies who are in a convent. Nun is something different. Okay, so Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. You got that for free this morning. Let's read it with some chutzpah. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Awesome. I love this time of year because for the next 9 months, we live into what I call grow season. Love summertime. It's great. Everybody kind of gets a break. Staff gets a break. Church people tend to get a break. But I love this season because it's grow season. It's the time of year that we typically, as a church, we got lots going on. The church is usually growing. New people are coming. If you're a guest today, we are really glad you're here. It's a great time to be a part of this community. We see Jesus transforming lives during this time through teaching and serving. We watch our attendance numbers rise. We watch our financial numbers rise. We watch people serving rise. We watch leaders rise. I mean, it is great. It's great. I mean, it is the time of year that we rise as a congregation. Love it. It's wonderful. Beautiful. Gets me a little bit excited just talking about it and thinking about it. And what is rise? Rise is really a shift in thinking, believing, living, leading. Rise, a change. I mean, when we hear the words rise up, it sort of makes you just get a little bit excited. You know, like something isn't okay the way that it is, and so something has to change. And we see that shift at the very beginning of the book of Joshua. It says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people. What are the key words? Get ready. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. Now, to catch you up on the story, Moses, arguably greatest leader in Israel's history, takes the people called by God, God says, hey, Moses, I'm in this burning bush. Here's the deal. You're going to lead my people out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. You've been there for 400 years. 400 years is way too long. We got to do something about this. So Moses rises up. The people of Israel rise up. They leave Egypt. They head into the desert. They live there 40 years. And really what those 40 years are all about is undoing one way of living life and believing. The Israelites believe all I am is a slave. All I can do is make bricks. And God leads them to believe, you are my sons and daughters, my beloved people, my chosen children, and I am going to use you to change the world. Rise. Moses dies. Joshua rises to lead. And it is the same for us. Nobody's dying. But it's time to be bold. It's time for what's next. It's time to grow and live into what it is and who it is that we are called to be as God's people. And for 7 years, we have lived into our beginning as a church family. I mean, we started, if you don't know the Revolution story, we started with 70 people in a little campus about a mile and a half from here. And in 7 years, we've grown to a church family that's about 300 people in size with two very important serving partnerships down at 4th Avenue and Family Scholar House. And we're also working with Go Ministries internationally, so a lot of great things are happening. We've watched a lot of lives changed. I've seen it in many of you. I mean, I remember there's a few stories in this congregation of you couldn't drag some brother or sister to church. And now they're the ones leading in certain ministries. There are some brothers and sisters, they would say, Jesus who? And now that's all they can talk about is Jesus and what Jesus has done. We've seen the rise in leadership. We had about five or six renovation groups in our beginning. And now, how many are there, Matt? Almost 20 small groups meeting throughout the city of Louisville. At one of the best moments I had last Sunday, we were meeting with some new people in our community, and the question was asked, what percentage of your people are involved in a renovation group? And Matt said 80% are involved in a renovation group. That's awesome because that's where discipleship happens. Worship is great. Discipleship is how we grow in our faith. I love it. I mean, the rise of that. And we're rising, we're growing as a church. To give you a little bit of idea on how churches work in North America, most of our idea of church here in the city of Louisville is clouded by our friends down the street. That's a great church. I'm not here knocking on anybody's church. But most people say, well, how big is your church? Well, if you're anything less than 20,000 people, of course, it's going to feel like a small church. That's the fifth largest church in the country. Good for them. They're doing lots of great things. Good for them. Churches typically work this way. Most churches in the United States are what we would call family churches, 80 people or less. Most churches. And why do you call it family church? Because it's usually run by about three families, right? When the lights are on, they're there. When the decisions get made, they decide, okay? When you get a little bit beyond 80 people, it becomes a pastoral church, and everything revolves around the pastor. Pastor's got to do everything. Kind of a one-man show, okay? We'll leave that one right there. Then it moves to a program church. This is kind of the phase of life that we're in. You got a great staff at a program church. There's some good ministries. People are beginning to lead. Usually there's some good missional partnerships that are growing. Next size church, resource church. They do most things with excellence. There's lots of volunteers. There's lots of lay people leading. There are new ministries all the time. Strategic church. Now, these are the churches who typically are seen as leaders within the community. They're always talking about planting the next campus or raising up the next leader or starting the newest innovative ministry, this kind of thing. And finally, the mega churches being, you know, 1,200 people or more. Now, why am I telling you any of this? What does this have to do with Rise? The deal is this. We're moving from program to resource church. And we got to rise. We got to rise as a community to do it. Because otherwise, if you don't rise, what happens? You fall. You fall. And some of our leaders have been challenging me to paint a more purposeful and bold vision of what is next. So what's next? More disciples. More disciples. more well-trained leaders, more people leading in ministry, more resources, and to make that happen, as a community, we've got to rise. We've got to rise. You've got to rise. I've got to change. And I'm excited. So let's talk about this guy, Joshua. Who is he? Joshua, the name means the Lord is salvation, and the word noon means increase. So we might say that his name means increase, the Lord is salvation. That's a pretty good name, especially if you're going to be a leader over God's people. So Joshua had a pretty important purpose from the beginning. And Joshua is sort of like a lifelong intern. You ever have any interns that worked with you at work? Were you ever an intern? I was an intern. It was good. You know, you're like the coffee go-getter guy. And they don't really trust you around clients for a while, so then you're the paper copy guy. And then maybe they'll let you answer the phone. And then after you answer the phone, and you get the point. I mean, so Joshua, he's been a lifelong intern. He has served under Moses, again, arguably the greatest leader in Israel's history. He has gotten a front row seat to how to lead God's people. And Joshua goes from an aide to a page, a herald, a minister over the tent of meeting, and now he's a leader with some measure of influence, and then when Moses dies, he's the guy. Joshua, get ready. He has been shaped and he has been prepared. And I think that's a worthy leadership lesson. I mean, great leadership, sure, to some degree. Leadership is a mantle that is conferred upon you. At the same time, it is very much earned. Great leaders are shaped and molded for years upon years upon years of being readied for whatever it is they have. And when Moses came, his time came, Joshua was ready. It was his turn to rise. Now, the start of Joshua's ministry, it's very simple. It says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. What's the simple thing they're supposed to do? Cross the river. Cross the river. But it goes deeper. Watch this now. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised to Moses. So there is something about this vision that God has of giving the people of God a place, a land where God and the people can dwell. And for them to claim it, for them to take it, they've got to go there. You're like, well, of course they got to go there. But I want you to think about how this relates to our own spiritual lives. How often do we pray, God, you just do this, God, you just fix this, and then there's no participation on our part? You know, like in our Celebrate Recovery community, lots of people who are dealing with lots of problems, they'll pray, God, I want you to do this, I want you to just fix this, and then when God doesn't just fix this automatically, then they're mad at God. Well, here's the deal, Jack. It took you years of living into a certain pattern of behavior to create destruction and havoc in your life. Maybe God would use the same years of a new pattern of behavior to bring fruitfulness into your life. Yes? Now, can God do it in one fell swoop? You bet. He's God. Does God do it that way? 9 times out of 10, no. No, he wants some participation on our part. And the way God usually works in our lives is first he gives us a bold vision, and then he equips us to be bold leaders to fulfill it. So whether we're talking about our own healing or transformation, or whether we're talking about our rise as a church, whatever it is, God first gives us a vision, and then he raises up the leadership to do it. God's always using people. I mean, God is the greatest vision caster of all time, and the reason is he not only knows what's going to happen, he has the power to fulfill it. And he uses the people to do it. Israel wasn't changed in a day. People cried out for 400 years in slavery, God, deliver us. Did he do it? 400 years later, yep. You know, lots of people are praying right now, God, change this country. God, change these circumstances. Hey, and let's pray. Maybe we need to pray more fervently. But I would encourage you in your prayers to ask, and how would you use me to do it? Because God always uses people to do the work. So to make sure that Joshua knows he's been given a vision and called and emboldened for leadership, God gives him five bold promises in our passage today. He says this, first, I'll give you every place you set your foot. Your territory will be, no one can stand against you. I'll be with you as I was with Moses, and I will never leave or forsake you. Five good promises, yes? I mean, imagine what we might do in our lives if we realize that no one can stand against us. And yet that's what we worry about all the time, isn't it? Who's going to reject me? Who's not going to buy in? How they're going to work against me? They might. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that they're going to win out. Doesn't mean that God's purposes won't be fulfilled. Now, it might not be your purpose. Might not be what you thought was going to happen. It usually isn't. You're right about that. But in the end, you can't stop God's promises, because when God makes a promise, it's not like, you know, hey, Susie or Johnny, I promise I'm going to take you to the store later. And then, like, life happens, so then you got to take them to the store the next day, maybe. Or somebody makes a promise, hey, I'll love you forever. Sometimes that promise doesn't work out. When God makes a promise, God isn't just making a promise. He's really telling what the future is going to be. This is going to happen because I have the power and the presence to make it so. So hold on. Be ready. Be bold. I'll be with you. No one can stand against you. I mean, all of these different promises, his promises always involve his power and his presence. If God has a bold vision, if God equips people to be bold leaders, he's going to give us not only his power, but his presence to fulfill the vision. I'll be with you. I'll give you everything you need. Hold on. You don't believe me? This is in Scripture. Abraham. He says, Abraham, go to this land that I'm going to show you, and I'll be with you. He says to Moses, lead the people, and I'll be with you. He says to David, build the kingdom, and I'll be with you. And what does Jesus say? The very final words to us in the Gospel of Matthew are, go and make disciples, and I'll be with you until the end of the age. Over and over and over again, God gives us his power, and he gives us his presence. I love it. I mean, he goes on, he says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. Be strong and be very courageous. I hear I'll be with you, so you be bold. I'll be with you, so you be bold. Be obedient. Do what's right. Don't turn left. Don't turn right. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? And that's what bold leadership is all about. Listening for God's call, understanding his vision, understanding his promises, and knowing that he's taking care of the what and the where and the how, and now it's your opportunity to live into it. It's just so hard to do, isn't it? Because you might not be popular. They might call you arrogant. I guarantee you're going to have adversaries along the way. You can't do that. You don't deserve that. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You haven't done it before. I mean, I remember when we started this church, I got so much grief from my colleagues. It was unreal. Unreal. I mean, you probably see it in your workplace, right? Why did they get that promotion? Suits. Yes? Why did they do that for her? Don't they know how lazy she is? I mean, over and over and over again, you do something bold, you stick your head out, and of course people are going to come against you. Because it convicts them, it challenges them, that maybe they could be bold. And maybe God has something for them, and it's just easier to live a normal existence. What about you? Let me invite our worship team to come on back up. Are you a bold leader? Are you a bold leader? Do you follow Jesus Christ boldly? Do you read the scriptures and not turn to the left or to the right? Are you the same guy in the locker room as you are on Sunday morning? Or are you the same gal at Bunko as you are on Sunday morning? Are you boldly leading your family? Are you boldly leading your children? Are you boldly leading in your workplace? Do they know that you're a Christian, or would they be shocked? Are you boldly leading here at Revolution? Are you boldly leading other people to Christ? Because I think there's a pretty big, bold message that God gave to Joshua. And if he gave it to Joshua, I guarantee you he gave it to each one of us. Lord, forgive us where we haven't been bold, where we knew the right path to take and we chose the easier one instead, for the ways in which we have failed you, for the moments that we have failed to take, for the relationships that we've failed to offer grace. Jesus, we pray that you will forgive us this morning, that you will heal us, and that you will help us to rise as emboldened leaders in our homes, in our community, in this church, and for the world. You give us a bold vision in Scripture of making disciples and transforming the world until you return. Jesus, help us live into that anew today. We make this prayer in his name and for his glory. Amen. I think the very first lesson in the book of Joshua is about the necessity of bold leadership. If you haven't heard it yet, bold leadership. Are you boldly leading your life for Christ? Are you boldly leading in your family? Are you boldly leading in your workplace? Do his ways come first? Do you read your scriptures each day? Do you pray? Because how can you be bold leaders if you're not connected to the source of power and presence? How will you know what is good and is right if you don't connect that way? And you know, that's what's so great about Scripture, is in a changing world, the Scriptures don't change. They've been around for a couple thousand years. They're not always popular. They're not always easy to do or to follow. But isn't there something good about that? Husbands, are you boldly leading in your family? Because I got to tell you, one of the things that frustrates me the most right now in our culture is men are a joke. We're big, dumb ogres to be placated and ridiculed. Maybe it's time for us to do something about it. Maybe it's time for us to be leading in our families and in our homes and in our workplaces and with our children. Do you honor them when you're in front of a computer screen? Do you take the initiative on Sunday morning and saying, we're going to church today? Do you know that the statistics show that if the man is willing to go to church, the family will follow? And I'm talking, it's like 85-90%. Now, the female usually decides where you go. Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. I get that. But it's time for us to lead. It's time for us to lead. And wives, are you boldly leading in your home? Because husbands and wives, this is a dual responsibility of leadership. Are you boldly leading in your home? Do you love your husband and children? Do you encourage them? Do you pray for them? And parents, your kids, they don't need a buddy. They need a leader. Now, you can be a buddy to them, but they need a leader. They need a man or a woman to show them how to live and how to someday grow up and be good and godly people and be great parents and great husbands and great wives and great leaders. And if you don't pour into them what is good and right and godly, how will they ever be good or right or godly? And if you're single or you're dating, bold leadership involves modeling healthy relationships for the rest of the world and having appropriate boundaries and teaching people to draw closer to Christ. Are you boldly leading in your workplace? Do people know that you follow Christ, not just because you say that you do or you went to church on Sunday, but by the way you manage others? Do you mentor other people and serve them? Do you invite them into a life with God? Do you help them become the best them? I love these words to Joshua that we read this morning. Get ready to cross the Jordan. I'll give you everywhere you set your foot. No one can stand against you. I'll be with you. I won't ever leave or forsake you. And I hear Jesus saying the very same thing to us. Go and make disciples of all nations, and I'll be with you always until the end of the age. The mission from Old to New Testament is no different. It's always been the same. It will always be the same. And look at what Joshua does. This is bold leadership. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get ready. Pack your junk. Throw it in the trunk. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. That's it. That's leadership. Not we're going to call a committee. Not we're going to take a straw poll. Not, you know, let's read a couple books first and then think about it. Let's go. You got 3 days. Which shows some grace, right? You got to pack your stuff. You got to go to the little U-Haul place and have them put the thing on the top of your car so you can get all the junk in. 3 days. And then we're leaving. I think this starts a new season for us here at the church. And I think we've been sitting on the Jordan River for a while. So here's a bold vision. How about in the next 2 years we grow by 200 people? How about in the next couple of years we take on a mission that is so big, so great, we can't do it on our own power? How about we get ready to think about planting whatever the next campus of Revolution is to reach more people and new people for Christ? How about our Celebrate Recovery ministry grows by 50 people? Because I guarantee you in this community, there's at least 50 people who should be coming on Wednesday night. I believe God is going to do something truly unbelievable, miraculous, if his people will stop talking about praying and pray and stop talking about leading and lead and stop talking about serving and serve. Unbelievable. I think it's time for us to rise, and I think he's looking for some bold leaders who are ready to cross the Jordan, not knowing what it is that's out there. And the question for you this morning is very simple. Are you in? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you give us vision, you give us power, you give us presence, you give us everything that we could possibly ever need. You make the promise that no matter where we go, if it's with you, you'll be with us. So, Lord, we come to your table today, realizing we can't do this on our own strength, but we need you. We make this prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say something with me. Full hearts.
Full hearts.
Full church.
Full church.
Full army of volunteers.
Full army of volunteers.
That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. I think that's part of our rise. Full hearts, full church, full army of volunteers. That's what we're going to be working on these next couple of years. I'm really excited. I hope you are too. This is a great time to be a part of this community, and I truly believe our best days are ahead. Go and be leaders. That's what God has called you to be. Go and be the revolution. Have a great week.